All right, let's take our Bibles this evening, and we will turn to, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, we are looking at reasons why the Lord Jesus must return at his second coming. All right, now, make sure that you realize the second coming is at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. And 7 years of tribulation follow the rapture of the church. But the return is necessary, and I'm giving you reasons why the Lord Jesus must come back to this earth. We have looked at several different things, about six different things that I hope have been a help to you and a blessing to you. But now we really just have one more of this, and then I want to go to the next thought that I have on in my notes here. But I want to give you the last one. I don't know what the number is or what the letter is. I lost track of that about 4 weeks ago. All right, but it's next, all right? And the point I want to make tonight is the Lord Jesus must come back so the redeemed, that's us, so the redeemed can share in the immeasurable benefits promised to us by our Redeemer. All right? He must come back to fulfill all those promises that he has made in the Scripture to us. All right? Now, let me show you what I'm referring to, what I'm talking about. I don't know that we think about it as much as we should, but awaiting us as believers, awaiting us is the privilege that we all have to some amazing benefits that the Lord has promised. We have some amazing benefits that are coming our way. All right, now in 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to read a couple verses to you. We'll start here in verse 3. In verse 3, Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Now, we don't use the word lively today very much. Instead, we use the word living. All right, we would say, if we were saying this today, we would say that the Lord has blessed us in accordance to his abundant mercy that he has begotten us again unto a living hope. All right, our hope is not dead. Our hope is living. Now, you remember Paul said that the blessed hope of the believer is for the Lord to come again. All right, so why is that? Well, because of all the wonderful benefits that are ours. The psalmist said that we are to rejoice in the Lord and forget not all his benefits. All right, so it's rejoice in the Lord. Well, you stop and think about that. You got so much in the Lord that you can rejoice about. You've got his word. And then you've got the Holy Spirit that lives within you that enables you to understand this word. All right? It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the understanding of the scriptures. And of course, there's the benefit of the peace that comes with knowing that you're saved and on your way to heaven. All right? There's the benefit of church. We have the benefit of church. And bam, what a privilege that is. You do realize that there are people all over the world, really, who know the Lord and would give everything they have to be in one service. Amen. Here at Church of the Open Door. Amen. One service. They don't have a church. They don't have a place. There was, I suppose there still is. I hope there still is. But if not, then we'll meet this brother in heaven. But there is a fellow who lived about as far north in England as you could get. He is so far up there that his house looks upon the sea, and it's the North Sea. All right, that's cold country. All right, that's bitter cold country, and there's no church up there for him to attend. So you want to know where he goes to church every week? Here with us. Now you don't hear him saying amen. But I'm pretty sure he's saying amen because he loves what we're doing here. He loves our church. And it's the same way with people everywhere. There are folks in China who go to church with us here every Sunday. There are people in Liberia. There are people in South America who go to church with us every week. Why? They have no place to go. But they do have access to the internet, and they watch our broadcast, and I get letters from them or emails from them now, and they'll say, the Lord led me to your broadcast, to your live stream. The Lord led me. Amen. Well, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? Amen. That's amazing that the Lord would lead these people to our church live stream, all right? So we have our church. We have America. I mean, so far anyway, we have freedom of religion and freedom of speech, for which we ought to be very, very thankful. Now, if you've been listening to the news, you know that there are some on the hard left who are wanting to reevaluate the First Amendment. And if they reevaluate the first, they're going to take an axe to the second, and they're going to take a chainsaw to the fourth. So, you know, we really need to enjoy our freedom and our liberty now while we have it. Because there is no guarantee what a month from now might bring. So please, folks, realize all these benefits that the Lord has given to us. We have throne rights. Isn't that amazing? You can go to the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. You can go to the Lord and say, Dear Heavenly Father, and it's just like you are the only person on the planet. And God, in His mercy and grace, just sort of reaches down and picks you up and sets you in front of Him and says, Yes, child, what can I do for you? That's throne rights. And that's why the Apostle Paul said that we can come boldly. Boldly, boldly And that, I wonder what boldly means. It means boldly. All right? You can boldly come to the throne. God is not going to say, I don't want to hear from you today. Never going to hear that. So we have all these benefits. All right? Now, look at your Bible now. Look at verse 3 again. Our living hope. All right, but notice what he said. By the what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. To an inheritance. Now, the description of this inheritance is this. Incorruptible. All right? In other words, there is no defilement at all. At all. It is incorruptible. It is undefiled. And it fadeth not away. Reserved in where? For who? For you. For me. You know what that tells me? That tells me that heaven is a real place. Amen. It's a real place. It's a real place for real people. And you know, the older you get, the more you look forward to getting there, don't you? Amen. Amen. All right. Then he says, verse 5, who are kept. Boy, I like that too. Who are kept. Kept. Years ago, I got invited to preach in a church down near Orlando, Florida, and no, that was not it. We went on vacation. A fella in the church had a winter home, a snowbird home, he called it, and. He said, preacher, you're going on vacation this summer? And I said, well, we're not real sure what we're going to do. And he said, in other words, you don't want to spend your money on a motel. And I said, yeah, something like that. And so he said, well, I got a place down there. And why don't you take your family down? You ready? It was in Frostproof. Frost proof. All right. It's right in the middle of the state. And so Josh was 4 and our girls were 2. And so all the, you know, let's go to Disney. Let's go to Disney. Let's go to Disney. So we packed them all up one morning, drove back up to Orlando. It was only about an hour and 15 minutes away, something like that. And so we parked the car. And we got out, got the stroller. Yeah, we got the double stroller, and then I had one by the hand, and Karen had the other by the hand, and I started to put a rope on Joshua. I wish I had him, but I didn't, and so we're getting ready to go in. We're kind of, you know, making our way to get on that little train that you take over to the entrance, and so we're standing there, you know, just all excited. The kids are bouncing, and Karen said, "Now, girls, listen, you hang on to mommy and daddy." And I went, "They're 2. They're 2." They're going to go in here and they're going to see Mickey and Donald and all the rest of them. And I'll guarantee you that the minute they do, like a firefly to a light, they're just going to go right straight to one of them. And I said, it's not really, I mean, they're 2. It's not their job to hang on to us. It's our job to hang on to them. And that was a difficult job. I mean, it happened exactly as I said. When we walked into the gate, here come one of those characters. I don't know which one it was, remember, but Joshua just ran right to it. And so I said, wow, we have got to keep our eyes on these kids. All right. And so we did. But notice what Peter said here. Who are kept? Folks, if you and I were not kept by God, while we live in a world that is just flashing lights, temptation, it's here, it's there, it's everywhere you look. But thank God he keeps a hand on us. Thank the Lord he has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. And nothing can break that seal. Man, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? All right, so here we are. Here's Peter now. And let me read the rest of the verse. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. All right, so our exalted position, which awaits us, it's not apparent to us yet. There is no way, because we have not been there, we have not seen it, we have read about it, through eyes of faith we have seen it, but we have not physically, literally seen what all God has prepared for us. But that day is coming. When? Well, it's going to be revealed in the last time. And that's where we are, folks. We're in the last days. We are in the last days. And so we're real close there. So just go back. Let's see. You got James and then you got Hebrews. All right, go back to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Let me show you this little verse to make my point. All right, look at verse 1 of Hebrews 1. It says, God, who at sundry times, that just means different, sundry, various, God, who at sundry times and in divers, that's not scuba divers, that just means different, all right, and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by who? The prophets, all right? So we know that's talking about the Old Testament time, all right? But now look at this. Verse 2, hath in these last days. Now, when was the book of Hebrews written? It was written in the first century. All right, it was written in the first century. And the writer of Hebrews here says that when he wrote this, he was living in the last days. Folks, we've been in the last days since Pentecost. We are in the last days. No man knows the day nor the hour. When the Lord's coming back, we don't know, but we know he's coming, and we are now in those last days. And so he said that that all of our benefits are one day going to be revealed to us in the last day. Now, here's another one. You see, we have not inherited our heavenly home yet. We have not been declared an adult yet. Did I go over that with you? You remember that? I was telling you about the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah, the 12-year-old. And the 12-year-old's dad takes him and sets him on a pedestal and says, "This is my son. He is 12 years old today. He is no longer a boy. He is now a man." And he takes off this little kid coat, and dad puts on an adult coat upon him as a token of the fact that he has grown up. All right? And so Paul said that we are waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our souls, of our bodies. All right, so we got saved here. I was saved. That's past tense, right? I was saved October 25th, 1970. But now here it is, October 3rd, 4th, 3rd, 2nd. It's October, and yeah, and I am saved. All right, I was saved, but now I am saved. I'm still saved. I am. I was saved. I am being saved every day. You say, well, how's that possible? I'm kept by the power of God. That's how. But then, one of these days, the rapture is going to happen. And I'm planning on being alive when that happens. How many of you want to be alive when that happens? Amen. Amen. I don't want to have to come out of a grave. Whew. Just gives me the gooly books thinking about it. I don't want to be buried. Where you want to be buried, Pastor? Nowhere. Don't want to be buried anywhere. All right? But the rapture's going to happen, and then we're going to have the resurrection of the church, of the saints. And we're all going to be in heaven, and when we get there, what's going to happen is we've been the sons of God all the way through. But when we get over into heaven at the rapture, at the resurrection of the church, we are going to be declared adults. We're no longer the sons of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All right, you see that? That's pretty cool, isn't it? So that's a benefit we got to look forward to. I'm excited about that one. Man, just to be standing there and all of a sudden, I'm rich. I'm rich. I've been poor all my life. But one of these days, I'm going to be rich. Amen. Thank God for that. All right, so you say, well, it hadn't happened yet. No, but it's promised. And if it's promised, it's as good as done. Amen. All right? Good as done. All right, go back for just a moment to the book of Joshua. Go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. All right, everybody there? All right, Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them." Do you see that? "Which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Now watch this third verse. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. Watch it now. That have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, that's the Mediterranean, shall be your coast. Now, folks, that's a whole lot bigger than just that little tiny stretch of land that you see tacked on to the end to the side of the Mediterranean Sea. All right, that's going all the way up into Iraq and Iran and Syria and all. It's all Lebanon. It's all promised to Abraham. All right. And so notice, though, in verse 3, he said, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I have already given that to you. Now, folks, they have never possessed all the land that is mentioned in verse 4. They never have possessed all that. But they got a promise, and I'm telling you, they will. Yep, amen. They will. It will one day be theirs. You say, well, when's that going to happen? When the Lord returns. Amen. When the Lord Jesus comes back at his second coming. It's going to happen. Just as sure as we're all sitting here. All right? Go now to the book of Philippians. Let me show you something out of Philippians. All right. Everybody follow me all right? Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2. All right. Look, please, if you will, at verse 5. And in verse 5, we read these words, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, so we're to have the mind of Christ. All right, so what was his mind? How did he think? How did he see himself? Well, look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus did not think he was under God. He did not think that God the Father was elevated above him. No. He saw God as his equal. Now, do you know why he saw God as his equal? Because he is God. Exactly. You say, but he came down to this earth. Yeah, but he was still God. He laid aside certain aspects of his deity, but he did not abandon his deity. All right? You say, well, how do you know? Well, because he calmed the sea one day. All right. Now, any takers? Anybody want to volunteer to try that? No, I didn't think so. You know why? Because we're humans. We can't do that. All right. I don't care what Benny Hinn says. You can't do that. All right. They can't. But he could. You know why? He's God. Do you remember when they were in the boat and the storm came and the Lord told them on the other side, he said, go over to the other side. Well, they were going to the other side and this big storm came up. And so they thought they were going to die. And all of a sudden they see what they thought was a ghost. It wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus. You say, well, how did he do that? He's God. He's God. All right. So what do we learn here? Well, right now, Paul said in Philippians 2, 6 and 7, basically, but Paul said that that we as believers are positionally seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Now, we're not there, but we are as good as there. All right? That's what he's saying. I think I pointed this out to you. In 28 years, I've taught you all everything I know to teach you. Look at Ephesians. Just go back a book. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. All right, look. Please, at verse 3, it says, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, that you'll notice that the little word places there is in italics. And when something is in italics in our King James Bible, what it means is the King James translators put that word in there to clarify, to make a complete sentence. All right, and so actually, if you take that word out, verse 3 is saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. In heavenlies. Now, go over to chapter 6 for just a moment. And look at verse 10 of chapter 6. And in verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are y'all there? I'm reading it without waiting on you. You there? All right, look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now watch. For we wrestle not here on this in this life, in this world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, your enemy is not man. Your enemy is the devil. All right, not man. It's not that person that talked about you or criticized you or sat in your seat on Sunday. All right. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, then, who do we wrestle with? Because I'm wrestling all the time. Yeah, that's what's wrong with you. All right, you're wrestling the wrong enemy. Wrestle the right enemy. You'll get more done. All right, you're not going to grow in Christ wrestling your brethren. Amen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but here's who we do wrestle against, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Boy, that's prevalent today. But notice where this spiritual wickedness is. In high places. That's the same word that was used over here in chapter 1 when he said our blessings come in the heavenlies. Amen. And now we learn at the end of the book that we battle, we struggle, we fight against an enemy that's in the heavenlies. You can't see your enemy. You say, well, I'll just take a ball bat and knock his head off. No, you won't. Ball bats don't touch him. You say, well, I'll get a gun and I'll shoot him. Bullets go right through him. He laughs at our foolishness. I heard this one guy one time on TV, and he said, I woke up in the middle of the night and there stood the devil. And I thought, ah, this ought to be good. He said, I got out in the floor and I took my gun and I pointed it at him and I told him to get away from here, and he fled. Nope. Not how it works. You're not going to see your enemy. They're in the heavenlies. That's the atmosphere above our heads. And I've told you before that if there was any way that we could all gather in one part of the church here and then just all of us lock arms so it didn't take off running, which we probably would still take off running, but just lock arms and then let God just peel back the blinders so that we can see what's going on just over our heads. And if we could see that, it would scare the living daylights out of all of us. We wouldn't miss church again. We wouldn't skip reading the Bible again. We would not skip praying again. We would not let every little incident get under our skin and cause us to be bitter towards one another. We just wouldn't do it. When the invitation is given, we'd be running to that altar. Oh, Lord. Well, that's the enemy that we fight, folks. That's the enemy that we fight. But when Christ, who is the believer's life, shall appear, then shall all of us also appear with him in glory. Amen. All right. Are you still in Ephesians? All right. Let's see. Where do I want to take you? I want to take you to Colossians. Go to the book of Colossians for just a moment. To the third chapter. Yes. All right. And look at this verse. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. You know, there's just way too many folks today who are too attached to what's going on down here. And we're not attached to what's going on up there. And that's where we ought to be attached. Verse 3, he said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now watch this. When Christ, who is our what? Life. That's right now. All right. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. But for me to live is Christ. All right. Look at the verse. Go back to it. When Christ, who is our life, you have life because of Christ. He redeemed you. He gave life to your dead soul when you called upon him and asked him to save you. So now he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall what? Folks, he must come back. Because when he shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He must come back. And when he does, he takes us up to be with him. You say, well, what if I die? Then your soul goes, we're going to stick your body in the ground. But then when he comes back, you're going to resurrect. If you're alive when he comes back, your body is going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you're going to have your resurrection while you're watching it all happen. What a joy that's going to be. Amen. All right, does everybody understand all that? So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. So the return of Christ is destined to produce immeasurable results. The whole universe, folks, the entire universe is waiting on the Lord Jesus to come back. As Paul said, the whole creation groaneth in travail, waiting for the adulthood, the adoption, waiting for the adoption. To wit, the redemption of the body. All right, one more verse real quick. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Romans 8. Romans 8. One more verse. Okay, three more verses. All right, but they're connected. All right, chapter 8 and verse, 16, yes. Verse 16, look at it. The what? Now, what spirit is that? The Holy Spirit. It's a capital S. All right? The Holy Spirit itself beareth witness with our quickened spirit. Amen. All right? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. My dad sat us down one day and he said, when I die, there's a will. And he said, I have divided everything, all of my assets between the three of you. And he said that what's mine will be yours. Well, I'm an heir to my dad's wealth. All right. But look at this. I'm also a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. In other words, what God's going to give to Jesus, We get two. We get two. If so be that that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon, see, Paul was the Southerner. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Woo! So here it is. You ain't seen nothing yet, folks. You ain't seen nothing yet. I don't remember how I heard about this, but I could have read it. I don't know. I could have seen it on a video or something. I don't know. But anyway, this woman died, and so the lawyer got her will, called her daughter, brought her daughter over. And when the daughter walked in and her family, there was a dog sitting in a chair. And the lawyer said, have a seat. So they sat down, and he said, I want to read your mother's will. And so he sat down and began to read the will. And mom was a multi-millionaire. Guess who she left everything to? The dog. Can you imagine that woman's face? Huh? Mm-mm. Well, we're going to inherit everything our Heavenly Father has. And by the way, folks, he owns cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no way to measure his wealth. So thank the Lord for our inheritance. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much tonight. Thank you for all these promises, these benefits that you have already promised. They're as good as given to us because your word is faithful and true. And I just pray that you'll help us to revel in what's coming. And Father, it could be very, very soon. We could hear that trumpet sound any day. And so, Father, give us a real burdened heart to see you face to face. And Father, hasten the day of your coming, and we'll rejoice in your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.